Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we talk about intended consequences. But first, let's pray. O Lord, you are the one who loved us through the cross. We thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit so that we may read your word and be fed in our spirits. Show us your kindness and goodness and lead us on into your truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the story of intended consequences. We all know about what are called unintended consequences, where an action leads to unforeseen collateral results. This all began with what was essentially an insignificant family that lived in Bethlehem, Judah. At some point, the whole land fell into grave difficulty as a result of a devastating drought. Finally, the husband Elimelech decided to take his family and leave their homeland. So he, along with his wife Naomi and their two boys Mahlon and Chilion, traveled to neighboring Moab. There they settled and began to make sense of their lives again. Sadly, we are told that shortly after arriving in Moab, Elimelech died. A while later, the sons Mahlon and Chilion married Moabite women Orpah and Ruth. But it seems that life continued to take this family down dark paths when Mahlon and Chilion also died. And so these crushing blows occur within the first five verses of Ruth, leaving us with the heart of the story that covers the four chapters that make up this book. Naomi, upon hearing that the drought was over, eventually determines to go home. So she encourages her daughters-in-law to return home to their respective mothers in the hope that God would provide them with another husband. This is a very sad parting of the way for the three women. Orpah decides to return home. However, Ruth insists on staying with Naomi. She declares that Naomi's God is her God, and by doing so, leaves behind everything that was familiar. And so we find that the two women are received in Naomi's hometown after many years, just when the barley harvest is about to begin. Naomi, it turns out, had a relative on her husband's side who was a man of standing in the community, and his name was Boaz. Ruth, in an effort to provide for herself and Naomi, decides to go and glean in the fields behind the harvesters, to pick up whatever had been missed or let fall to the ground, and so have something to take home. Quite by accident, she is working in a field that is owned by Boaz, who upon hearing who she is, sets about favoring her. When Naomi hears about it, she realizes that this is an opportunity for Ruth to have a husband who will also act as their kinsman redeemer. For those who may not know, the idea of a kinsman redeemer is as follows. This was a legal provision in Israel and can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 to 10. Normally, a woman married to a man would bear his son and heir. However, in the case of the untimely death of the husband without a son, the law of levirate marriage came into force. Now, levirate is not a Hebrew word, but a word derived from the Latin lever, L-E-V-I-R, meaning husband's brother. So it was about the widow becoming the wife of the dead husband's brother, if there was one. And children were born who would be counted as the children of the dead husband who had otherwise died without a name in Israel. Then, when it came to inheritance time, the males born under this arrangement received their father's property. If there was no one to perform this duty of levirate marriage, there were other provisions in place. The concept of kinsman redeemer also extended to redeeming the property of a fellow kinsman who had fallen into the hands of creditors, or to take vengeance where someone's life was taken by another person. So now to our readings, and the first one is from Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. I'm reading from the NIV. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. What is not covered here is the fact that there was another family member who had first option to be a kinsman redeemer. However, he turned it down. This is covered in the first 12 verses of chapter 4. We then go to Ruth chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, where Boaz marries Ruth and she bears a son. It says, So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Just to there, and may the Lord bless his word to us today and always. So finally we come to what I have called intended consequences. Looking at the chain of events, who would have thought that a family that had left its homeland and took up residing in a foreign land would be so blessed? Yet the blessing is hidden behind much pain and suffering. Who could have known that God intended to take a woman from a nation, Moab, that in another part of the Bible are a people marked to be despised because of their ignoble origins? For this, see Genesis chapter 19, verse 34 to 38, which is about the actions of Lot's daughters. And then to join her to her mother-in-law in such a wonderful relationship, with the intention of weaving her life into the ancestry of Jesus Christ. It is a story of emptiness replaced by fullness, of lack replaced by provision. According to rabbinic tradition, the main theme of Ruth is that of loyalty or faithfulness. Loyalty and faithfulness born of a sense of caring and commitment, which is rooted in kindness and goodness. Chesed is a Hebrew term which essentially means kindness or goodness, and is used to describe God's relationship to Israel as well as the relationship among members of a family or a community. And so this word chesed is key to this story and appears in a number of places. In Ruth chapter 1 verse 8 we read, Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. In chapter 2 verse 20 we read the following, The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. In chapter 3 verse 10 we read, The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. All of the main characters in the book, Naomi, Ruth and Boaz, act with chesed, or kindness. Who could have imagined that such acts of kindness would be shown against a landscape that was oftentimes quite selfish and harsh? Naomi, while she had no legal obligation to her widowed daughters-in-law, made it her business to be concerned about their finding new husbands. In particular, because Ruth remained with her, she went out of her way to see that she had a husband. Ruth, for her part, had no real responsibility to Naomi, yet she remained by her side, willing to give up her native land, her family, and her religion, and instead embrace Yahweh. All of her actions were directed toward finding support and protection for Naomi. Boaz, for his part, took upon himself a commitment beyond what was required. Not only was he willing to redeem the family's land, but he was happy to marry Ruth and enable the family name to be perpetuated. And finally, we see that behind all these scenes, God is at work manifesting his kindness and goodness, since each individual in the account is repaid for their loyalty by finding security and fulfillment, and a family that came close to destruction finds new life and continuity. And continuity is an additional theme in our story. This continuity, particularly family continuity, is linked very closely to the theme of chesed. The male members of Naomi's family, who might normally be expected to perpetuate the family, are, as we saw, quickly removed from the story, and it is through Naomi and Ruth that family continuity is finally achieved. As we close then, we discover that there is a special interest at a national level, and that is King David and his ancestry, right down to Jesus. These are the intended consequences that God purposed, for he is constantly at work, saving and providing for his people and working his purposes in the history of creation. And God is at work in our lives as well, even through the most difficult of times. It is for us to hold on to his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that we should wait patiently for his chesed, his kindness and goodness, to manifest. And so, let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that while our lives feel as though we are subject to forces beyond our control, this is not the case. In your kindness, you have planned our lives to be for your glory. And we know that all things will work together for good, for we love you and are called by your name. And so we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.